Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Last night, after North Carolina's shocking loss to Syracuse, it was a surprise. I thought Syracuse would cover. I didn't think Syracuse would win the game. I thought they would cover the, I think it was 7.5 or 8, depending on what you had in the palm of your hand. And I'm not surprised that the game was close. I'm a little surprised that North Carolina didn't win. I'm more surprised that North Carolina, well, by the way, we won that one. It was one of our two wins last night.
Oh, nice.
I'm not surprised that it was a close game. I was surprised that Carolina's defense was as poor as it was. And that's, to me, the surprise. Not that Carolina lost the game. That's the real shock to me. I am surprised also that Virginia lost at home because they've been playing so great. But every time I've seen Pitt, except for the I didn't watch the game that they got squashed on by Carolina. But when I watch Pitt, man, they look good to me. So I ain't surprised by anything that team does. And I love Jeff Capel. Brett Friedlander, ACC columnist, SaturdayRoad.com. Joining us on the Adam Gold Show at BFried ACC. Brett, I'll just start it this way, and I ask this question in all seriousness. How is it possible that North Carolina could lose any games in this, you know, middle-tier high school basketball conference that is the Atlantic Coast Conference?
You know, it's funny because when Nevada beats San Diego State, you know, John Rothstein is, wow, the Mountain West is so great. Or Texas Tech beats Kansas.
Right.
Look at the balance of the Big 12. And then a team like Pittsburgh goes into Virginia, and you mentioned it. And, you know, Pittsburgh got off to a 1-5 start in the ACC. But you have to remember, they're playing two freshmen in their starting lineup. And this is the time of year where freshmen start to kind of figure it out. And
right.
Pittsburgh is really a very good team and is starting to show it. I mean, they're 7-5 in the ACC now, I think, or 7-6. So
7-6, yeah.
Listen, the ACC is not as bad as everyone out there, Joe Lunardi and all the proctologists.
Wait a second. Victoria, did you hear that? It's a proctologist. That's awesome.
I wish I could claim credit for that. Okay, but that was a Steve Forbes line. So, but I loved it, so I got to use it.
No, it's good. I credit. Why not? I mean,
But the point is that this conference is better than it's being given credit
for.
Even Louisville down at the bottom is better.
They are.
And you know, I mean, I think it's a 5-bid league, and we'll see. But you know, and here's the other thing about Carolina too. You mentioned the defense, and the defense was abysmal last night. Although, you know, to their defense, I believe it was Starling with like 0.4 on the shot clock, sure, fires up a 30-footer and banks it in.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was one of those nights. But to me, the thing that concerns me most about Carolina is the fact that they still haven't figured out how to attack a zone defense. Brad Brownell exposed it. And I think you're going to see others use it because last night, Elliot Cadeau had no idea what to do against it. And, you know, that's really a problem.
Well, I think North Carolina in the past has been pretty good about getting the ball inside any zone defense and attacking it from the inside. I don't think they've forgotten that, but sometimes players go on the court and they settle, right? Especially if you've been in games where you've knocked down a lot of threes in the past, it's very easy to just fall in love with it. And I'm not saying they're doing what they did when they played Duke, however many days ago that was now, 10 days ago.
Seems like about a year ago.
Right, when they shot the ball really well. But look, I've been saying this for about North Carolina. They've got one guy I know I trust to shoot the ball from the perimeter, that's RJ Davis. And they have two other players that when it's their night, they can be great. And when it's not their night, they can be bad, and that's Harrison Ingram and Cormac Ryan. We've seen Harrison go, what, 1-for-7 or something, and we've seen Ryan, I mean, for much of the first half of the year, he was shooting under 30% from three. So sometimes it is a little bit about rhythms. I'm not, but offense is not their thing. I think they're capable offensively, but it's really on the defensive end where I think they have the biggest impact. So when that goes away, it just opens the door for other things to happen. How do we go about fighting the fight about, because I like Hubert mentioned it last night, but he mentioned it sort of in passing. What he said last night, you know, he was trying to explain the loss. He goes, look, it's the best league in college basketball. Well, I mean, it isn't, but it's not what people are trashing it with, right? It's not it's not worse than the Mountain West. That's so dumb. It doesn't even merit a real response.
Better than the Big Ten.
Yeah, it is better than the Big Ten.
I'd put it right behind the Big 12 and the Big East. I'd put it number three right now.
All right, it may be. Is the Big 12 the best league?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Maybe. I mean, if you go by the net, yeah. But
we
I
can't.
Mean,
that's my biggest problem.
You can't. Yeah.
I've been screaming about this. I know people are sick and tired of hearing about this, but the longer we speak about it, maybe people will hear it. The Big 12 gamed the system.
Yeah. I mean, they beat up on Colorado School of the Mines and Morehead State,
right,
and, you know, Colorado Mesa, and it's yeah. The system either has to change or basically use the net as a diagnostic and not as a, you know, the be all end all.
I got this question on Twitter. Brett Friedlander, ACC, Saturday wrote ACC columnist. Getting everything mixed up today. I'm old. The fact that they said a long time ago that the net is not a catch all. It's not the most important thing. But here's the problem. They don't use it to select teams, but they do use the metric to rate teams. They use what you did against Quad 1. I love Gary Parrish from CBS. And mm-hmm. Gary came on here 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about the league, and he goes, well, you know, this school is 5-5 in Quad 1 games. And I'm like, okay, this is what the problem is. Because let's look at the Quad 1 games that some of these teams, you know, have played or have won. Or, you know, Iowa State, there's a bunch of teams in the Big 12 that played nobody outside the league and have 3 Quad 1 wins.
Iowa State is a Quad 1 win for Big 12 teams.
Everybody.
But Iowa State has not beaten an out-of-conference team rated higher than 100.
No, they BYU the one is the same win way. Against Iowa, right?
I believe so, yes. And BYU is the same way.
Yep. San Diego,
it's crazy.
They beat San Diego State in the non-conference at the beginning of the season, which, of course, makes you a top 4 seed. Iowa State, in Jerry Palm's brackets, third. He has them as a 3. I'm like, how? I look at their profile, and I know this is going to sound weird, and I'm not saying they're not better than Georgia Tech, but their profile looks a lot like Georgia Tech's, except that Georgia Tech screwed the I don't want to get in trouble. They screwed up when they got into conference play. They can't beat anybody. They're 3-10 in conference play, but they're three conference
wins.
You say it.
Carolina, Duke, and Clemson—the three top teams in the three top-rated teams in the net in the ACC.
And Clemson was—they won at Little John. That was an incredible win. So look. The narrative was there. The Big 12 figured out the math, and they're reaping the benefits. The ACC should have not scheduled well outside of the league. That's their
problem. But here's the problem with that, Adam. About 2-3 years ago, NC State was number 35 in the net. Didn't get in. Why? Because strength of schedule. That's what they told them. So they bulked up their schedule, what everybody else did. And then others figured out how to play the system. And now strength of schedule is totally meaningless. So I think they have to adjust the other way now.
It's possible, though, that NC State didn't do enough within the league, didn't beat the right teams within the league also.
Right.
So in fairness to these schools that I've been trashing, they have good wins within the Big 12, which makes me say, maybe the Big 12 isn't as good as we think it is. And maybe it's just they have gamed the system to the point where every time they play a game, it looks better than it actually is. And maybe because the ACC, by and large, scheduled better in the pre-conference season, the ACC doesn't look as good, therefore you don't get the value for winning these
Bingo
games.
Bingo has been called.
So that I appreciate that. Give me your thoughts on the Blue Devils as we have our last, what, 2.5, 3 weeks, I guess 3.5 weeks of this season. What do you see as a ceiling for them?
Well, I originally had given the ceiling as an Elite Eight team. They're the kind of team that could get beat in the second round or go all the way to the Final Four, depending on matchups. But I got to give John Shire a little credit because he's got a fundamental flaw to his roster that there's, you know, that he's not going to be able to fix, and that is they don't have a rim protector on defense, and they're really not, they don't have a post presence offensively. But with Jared McCain now being given the green light to crash the boards, this guy's got 10 or more rebounds in 4 of the last 5 games. That's kind of really kind of helped. It hasn't solved it, but it's definitely helped lessen the their deficiency on the glass. They're a better rebounding team because of it. And, you know, because of it, they can get out and get in transition a little bit more. And I have to give him credit. He's looking for ways to get around the problem that he can't fix. And so far he has. Now, they've only won 2 games since that dismal performance against the Tar Heels. Tomorrow, or actually tonight, is going to be, I think, a litmus test. Not tonight, Saturday.
Saturday.
When they go to Virginia.
At Florida State.
They're at Florida State. That's right. Virginia comes to Cameron after that. But I think that those 2 games are going to be a real test as to how far Duke has come and, you know, whether we need to reassess their ceiling. Because if Tyrese Proctor starts playing like Tyrese Proctor at the end of last year, and I know we keep waiting for that to happen, but I think that's the last piece of the puzzle right now, because I think Shire has pushed the right button so far. But again, let's see. I mean, last year they rebounded from a really, really heartbreaking loss at Virginia, the overtime one where Filipowski got karate chopped in the throat and they didn't call it. And they didn't lose again. They swept the rest of the regular season, won the ACC championship. The UNC loss is kind of very similar. So let's see if they rebound, respond, and do the same, because I think the possibility is there.
Filipowski got clocked in both games in the Commonwealth. Yes. They lost the UVA game. They lost both games. They lost Virginia Tech and UVA. They avenged the loss in Blacksburg this year with a win. I agree. I think Tyrese Proctor is the key for them to go to another level. And they need to get out and run. They need to push the tempo a little bit. They need to make it an all-court game if they can do that, because they are going to play 3 and 4 guards, and Mitchell is an athlete.
And you do that by getting stops and rebounding. And that's been a problem, but it hasn't the last 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, well, it's because the league is trash, Brett. What are we doing? It really is like playing a bunch of JV teams. So, yeah, Duke is Duke. Brett Friedlander at BFriedACC on Twitter, ACC columnist, SaturdayRoad.com. Thank you very much, man. I'll talk to you later.
Always a pleasure.
You got
Adam.
It. Thank you. Brett Friedlander here on the Adam Gold Show.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.